Time now for the Morning Line here on KMA. Recent developments regarding ethanol and the renewable fuels industry are the attention of supporters here in Iowa. Monty Shaw is executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, and he joins us on the line this morning with more on the latest developments. Good morning to you, Monty.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us, sir. And first of all, as you know, the EPA recently issued a draft rule regarding the potential reallocation of the renewable fuel standard refinery exemptions for 2023 and 24, as well as the estimated amount of SREs expected this year. Could you explain why the EPA took this action and basically what it means for the ethanol and renewable fuels industry in general?
Well, I suppose after 20 years, you know, a lot of your listeners have heard about the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, and that's kind of our bedrock biofuels policy where it sets the blending targets every year to get renewable fuels into the fuel supply and make sure that we're not just stuck on a petroleum monopoly. So when they set these, there is a provision where certain refiners can get exemptions from their share of you know, blending. And if those exemptions are granted, they're supposed to be kind of prospectively reallocated to the remaining refiners who didn't get exemptions. So in other words, if they set a goal of blending 15 billion gallons of ethanol into our fuel supply for a year, then it's supposed to be 15. It's not supposed to be 15 less whatever the exemptions are. What was happening is a lot of court cases tied this up literally for years and years and years. They all kind of got resolved, and now the EPA is dealing with this backlog of refinery exemptions. I apologize for all the weeds, but the short version is they did grant some, and now we're saying, hey, you granted several billion gallons worth of exemptions. You need to reallocate those. And in fact, today, I think it's going forward, even with the shutdown, today the EPA is actually holding a hearing that we'll be participating in later this morning where we're going to try to make that case. You know, the number, you know, the farmers out there should not be paying the penalty for these refinery exemptions.
What kind of a setback is it that this reallocation, as it stands now, has been delayed until 2026-27? What kind of an impact will that have on the ethanol?
I think right now it's not a bad thing if reallocation happens. I mean, you know, the market's kind of adjusted. They've kind of, you know, they don't know whether they're going to have to blend it or not, so the pressure is still on the blend. But if the EPA, at the end of this rulemaking process, if they say, hey, don't worry about it, we're not going to reallocate, or if they say, I think there's a lot of people that think they'll kind of split the baby in half and say, hey, we're going to reallocate 50% of these exemptions, you know, make us mad, make the oil guys mad, kind of meet in the middle. Once the market knows what the EPA is going to do, then it will adjust, and then we'll see the reaction, whether that be positive if they uphold the law and actually do the full reallocation, or whether they, you know, take some other course and then we see less blending. You know, and our message is, look, you know, we have farmers out there right now in the middle of harvest. Maybe it's not going to be a record harvest. There was some late season pressure, as you guys know, from diseases and whatnot, but it could still be a record harvest. If not, it's going to be really close. Prices are down. You know, we're really on the cusp of seeing a lot of farmers underwater. And so this is the exact wrong time to start cutting markets for farmers. We need to grow markets for farmers by upholding the RFS, reallocating all of these exemptions, and then even going beyond that. You know, we need the year-round E15 and some of the other things that Congress and the White House just have not gotten done.
I know in previous interviews we've done the last couple of times, you stated that you feel the EPA has kind of done an about-face and is more supportive of the ethanol industry, if I recall your words exactly. Do you still believe that the current EPA administrators support the ethanol industry given this latest decision?
Well, this is a big test, right? I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong. I mean, I do think that they granted too many of these refinery exemptions. If you read the law and look at the criteria that they're supposed to use in judging them, they probably shouldn't grant any, quite frankly. But if they do grant them, and they reallocate them, then we're held harmless. And that's our message. So they did roll out a draft rule for the 26 to 27 blend levels that was very strong. And we applauded them for that. We try to not pay attention to who's in the White House, who's at the EPA. We just call it like we see it. So that draft rule was very good. But they need to finalize it, and they need to account for the refinery exemptions that they have now granted. If they do that, you know, we're going to applaud and say, good job. You did the right thing. You followed the law. You were aggressive. You helped farmers. If all of a sudden they start lowering these numbers, whether by just lowering the proposed numbers in the final rule or by undercutting them with these refinery exemptions or not reallocated, then we're going to say that too. We're going to say, hey, you know, that's not good. You missed an opportunity. That, you know, this isn't the best RFS rule we've ever had. The draft was very good, very strong. And so we want to give credit where credit's due. But a draft is just a draft. We have to see what the final result is, and hopefully they lean in because, you know, goodness knows, you know, our farmers need robust markets out there right now.
I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, the government shutdown. Are there any other programs helping the renewable fuel industry, ethanol, that could be impacted by this shutdown? It started at midnight tonight Eastern time.
You know, nothing on like a day-to-day basis. I think our biggest concern is, you know, the market needs to know what the future holds. And right now, you know, we have these draft rules out there, whether it be the RFS volume blending levels that we're talking about today, in the big beautiful bill or whatever they called that thing. Some tax credits were modified, and so now the Treasury Department has to put out rules saying, "Hey, here's how we're going to implement these things." And if this drags on, you know, those people are not at work, and they're not doing their job. And you know, we need some of those answers yesterday, if you know what I mean. And we're already looking into next year by the time they're likely to get to some of this stuff. And so, you just hate to see some of this stuff pushed off. I understand there's big issues at play here, and so you know, I'm not trying to say that who's right, who's wrong, or anything like that in this. We've got to get our budget under control. But you'd just like to see Congress function a little bit better and avoid these situations. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a day and age where the government has a lot to say about a lot of different things. Energy policy is certainly one of those. And so we just need it to function. We need to know what the rules of the game are so we can invest and try to grow the biofuels markets for farmers.
Of course, this comes on the heels of this summer when the EPA allowed uninterrupted sales of the E15 blend of gasoline. Based on what you're hearing, how successful were the sales of E15 gas over the summer months?
Yeah, no, I think it went very well. I think we've had our best year ever. But the real story there is if you're doing these emergency actions to continue E15 sales during the summer, you know, there's this outdated regulatory quirk. It wasn't even intended to hurt E15. It didn't even exist when this regulation went into place, but it prevents us from easily selling E15 in the summer. And as long as you're dealing with that on a year-by-year emergency basis, retailers in the Midwest are moving forward. They want E15 out there. But in most of the country, and where a lot of the people live and where a lot of the gasoline is sold, they're like, well, we're not going to put in E15 if we don't know we can sell it year-round. And so while the emergency waivers are appreciated because at least we don't lose sales where we have E15 offered, you're not really going to have E15 offered from coast to coast, which would be a huge new market for farmers and corn growers. And so I don't want to take anything away from the emergency waiver. It's better than nothing when we get down to the wire. But what we really need is Congress to act and to reform this outdated regulation that limits E15 sales. We're not asking. It's not a mandate. It's not an incentive or a tax credit. It's literally just removing an outdated regulation that prevents people from selling a product 3.5 months of the year that you can sell the rest of the year. It's just, it's literally one of the dumbest things that's ever, you know, it's what's wrong with big government is we have regulations like this that tie people's hands, and Congress is so dysfunctional. We've been working for over a decade to try to get rid of it, and we haven't been able to. And again, all it would allow is it would allow retailers to offer E15 if they wanted, and it would allow consumers to buy E15 if they wanted. Again, no requirements, no mandates, no taxpayer money involved. Just get this stupid, outdated regulation out of our way, and then let the market work. And here we are beating our heads against it one more time. It's being blocked right now in a bill in the Senate by Senator Whitehouse. He's a liberal from the East Coast, and he doesn't want anything that helps liquid fuels because he wants to see everybody drive an electric vehicle. But we also have Republican senators from oil areas that don't like this because they see it as more competition for their products. So, I mean, I think we should just get the rules fair and accurate and science-based and then let the market go. But, you know, we're going to keep working on it.
Well, we've run out of time for this session, Monty. Thank you very much for being with us this morning with the update, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a good day now.
All right. Thank you, and everybody be safe out there.